It's 8:45 on a Wednesday morning. We have a couple of in-studio guests joining us right now. Chris Kennelly and Brett Bielenberg. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in today.
Great. Thanks for having us.
We are going to talk about the Cannon River Civic Center, or at least the proposed Cannon River Civic Center. Last night, as Terry mentioned on her news, the council did approve putting that referendum on the ballot in 2018, which is November, on Election Day. I guess we'll start off with that in last night's meeting. There was a lot of discussion on that. That was a big topic to get everything kind of nailed down for the referendum. Tell us a little bit about what you saw last night.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we're extremely excited that this is going to come to voters. It's been a long process of people working on it. A committee was put together, worked over 18 months, came up with, I think, is a great plan and a recommendation for a two-sheet civic center ice arena out on donated land. So it's a true public-private partnership with a lot of people involved to come up with this recommendation. So last night was kind of the culmination of the effort through the city of Northfield and passing the language to go to the voters. A lot of discussion last night was kind of around naming and what this really is, a civic center ice arena, and kind of came up with a tweak to the language. But we're very excited it's going to voters and with the outcome last night.
All right. And that it is both a civic center and an ice arena. Did I have that right? As far as the ballot question, it does mention both of those.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct.
All right. Let's backtrack, and Brett, we'll talk to you about this. You have been in the current Northfield Arena for much of its existence in one way or the other, either as a player or a coach. You know, I came here in the late 80s, and I recall talking to people, man, as far back as the early 90s about a possible new arena or some type of expansion or something, because at that time, ice time, you know, with the two colleges and all the youth programs that we have, it was pretty busy. And I remember about falling over when somebody told me it was going to cost over $1.5 million.
Yeah.
fast forward 30 years, and it's going to be a little bit more than that. We'll get to that in just a moment or so. But talk about what you've seen, you know, kind of the history, when the need started arising, and get us to where we're at now.
Well, I think as a player, when you came in at St. Olaf, right, my recruiting visit, that was one of the recruiting things, is that there's going to be a new arena by the time you graduate. And that was in 94 that I graduated. And so it's always been on discussion. It's always been a topic. Everybody has always said it's been needed. But then it's nothing's ever really been done. And so it's just kind of this thing that's been tucked away. And I think it was, I can't remember how long ago it was, but that we did a bunch of renovations. But those renovations came because there was mold in the arena. And for so long, people just ignored it. And to be honest, we knew we wanted people to talk about it, that was the wild card that we'd pull out. There was mold above the benches, which was unhealthy. And as soon as we said that, St. Olaf was down in the council room. There was major discussion. They were testing the mold. And then there was talk about this thing could be shut down if we don't fix this. And so I think that's just something we want to break free. We have to look to the future of, like, okay, let's not wait to just mass something again. It's time to look to the future and say, what do we just do that will be finished and something that will be here for 50 years that we can, as a community, say we love this thing. But it's been a roller coaster. I think I've been 16 to 18 meetings talking about that arena through my 20 years of coaching, which is, it's too many. It's too much discussion without anything being done.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the locker rooms. And from the coaching aspect, can you get a team in one locker room? Lockers almost, not even a room.
Yeah, no, I'd say this, Allison has done a great job on what they have down there, but yeah, you can barely get a mite team in there, and let alone a high school team. And, you know, we have the infamous locker room 8, which is just an open locker room, and there's just a curtain, and the curtain you can just see through the gaps there. And when you really think of the safety of kids, it's not good down there, you know, and our kids will, a lot of times they would start dressing in the bathrooms because they were warm there and there was space there, and then they got kicked out of there. There's just nowhere to really adequately get dressed. And last year we had a clutter of teams that came in, and one of the varsity teams that we were playing couldn't get into a locker room until 10 minutes before their game because there was so much activity going. And it's one of those things that just really reflects bad on the community. And you want to be proud of what we have to offer.
Once again, Brent Bielenberg and Chris Canelli are with us. We are they are proponents of the new Cannon River Civic Center, the proposed new multi-purpose hockey rink slash, I guess, arena. Let's talk about the evolution of the current design. You've identified two sheets of ice are necessary. St. Olaf has come along and now broken off. They're building their own facility there. But the decision to put in two ice sheets, talk about that.
Sure. Yeah, the study that was done on amount of use came up with us using about 150% of a single sheet. So, and that is with the Northfield hockey programs only taking one additional hour per week. So we feel like we would be taking a lot more than that. Really, that other 50% cap capacity that was open, we've already worked on filling. We've met with the Farmington Hockey Association. Currently, when we don't practice, our teams, Northfield, don't practice in Northfield. We practice in Faribault, usually at Shattuck. And every time we're leaving, we see the Farmington team coming on the ice after us. So they have the similar problem as us with not as much ice. So we have been to their association, and they are willing to start looking at renting that additional ice from us. It saves them 15 minutes of a drive. And it also adds to the economic driver of this project, which really I know every time I take my kids down to Faribault, I end up either getting a sandwich or buying groceries on the way home. And those people are from Farmington are now going to be coming to Northfield and doing that.
And let's talk about that economic driver aspect of it. Have there been some official formal studies on the revenue, when and where this revenue is going to be produced at?
Yes, the study that was looked at estimated revenue about $1.3 to $1.8 million a year coming into the community, and that was really based on us hosting more tournaments for two sheets. So with two sheets, we're able to host a lot more tournaments. They're estimating over 10 a year. Right now, I think we have one, and really our decline in people coming to play our tournament has gone down as people don't want to come and play in this arena. So that was estimated at $1.3 to $1.8 million, which was really conservative. It was based on like a study from the 80s or 90s out of La Crosse, Minnesota. So it kept the dollars in those terms of that day and hasn't time-weighted them for what would be current.
How many youth teams do we have? Any idea? Because we have both boys and girls. Some of them we have A, B, and C. And any idea?
He's the president.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always that, too, of the 80% rule. Like, when you have a limited amount, you're going to maximize the kids that play. As you expand, you're going to expand the number of kids that play. Because all of a sudden there's going to be more opportunity. There will be more opportunity even for, I think, a dream for the NHA is always to be in-house program. You don't have to do travel. You just want to play for fun and just get on the ice. And growing up, we had a 16-team in-house program for squirts in Stillwater. It was a little bigger community, but not a lot bigger. And you're getting kids engaged in activity. And I think that's one of the things that this opens up to is just more and more kids' opportunity to play. But, you know, I bet there's
about 20-plus teams, I'd say. And, you know, our numbers have continued to grow over the years. High schools have had fantastic success in the last couple of years, and they're dealing with limited amount of ice as well.
Kind of a different question here for you, but you've both been involved. You have kids involved in the youth programs and such. What's the strangest time you've ever had a practice at? Do you have, like, 5 a.m. practices? And, yeah, the kids, I know, I hear from parents that's like, oh, man, we've got practice at some crazy hour because it's the only ice time.
Yeah, we still do our JV, does Wednesday mornings at 6:30 a.m., 6:15 a.m., just because we can't keep all these bodies on the ice at the same time, and we're limited. We get an hour and 15 minutes. Sometimes we're an hour and a half. But so on Wednesdays, our JV is getting up early on their late start day, and they like it. They like to get done before. But at the same time, I don't know if that's the best thing for them from an education standpoint to be practicing beforehand. But it is what you have to do. So,
yeah, we have heard the educators talk so much about kids not getting the full 8 hours of sleep and activities and everything, getting involved with those. Yeah, boy, that 6:30 comes around real early in the morning. Got to get up well before that. in order for this thing to work, and we talked about this at the beginning of the show, and it was discussed quite a bit last night, it's got to be a multi-purpose. There's going to be you're going to have to keep that thing busy really year round. Have you explored? I mean, I'm sure you've explored. You know what the words multi-purpose mean. What are some of the things you're finding? Some of the purposes that this arena can be used for other than hockey?
Right. And there's absolutely still a lot of work to do on this, but we are diving right in. And we've found everything from the easy things, which are concerts. Right now, the current arena hosts the Home and Garden Show. It also hosts the book fair and a craft fair. So those things are very easy when the ice is out in the summertime activities. We're looking at the options for turf inside there, for indoor box lacrosse or box soccer, which continue to grow in popularity. Everything from pickleball courts, which has continued to rise in popularity and use and has a smaller use than a tennis court. But really, we're looking at a lot of options for what can go in there, both recreational sports-wise, but also community events. Lisa with the Northfield Chamber of Commerce on the tourism side said there's a pretty big demand. They get contacted a lot about hosting more events in town that they cannot do in the current arena because of the cold floor and subfloor in it.
Mm-hmm. Now, when the ice is out in the summertime, is it going to be cold in there? Are those floors cold? Or the modern facilities? We've been into the Home and Garden Show before, and of course you've displayed there for many years.
Yeah.
It can get cold in there. That mm-hmm. floor is cold. Is that due to the system that we have?
Correct. They design them differently these days, and I don't won't get into all the technical specifics, but it's a big game changer for what they can host in there.
All right. Once again, we're talking with Chris Canelli and also Brent Bielenberg about the Cannon River Civic Center that will be on the ballot. The referendum will be on the ballot this coming November. From what you've seen, have you gone to a lot of different arenas? Obviously, Brent, you have because of your years in hockey. You're going to go to all the just about most of them in the state, and I would imagine, Chris, you have too. But have you talked with people about other uses that they're bringing in?
I mean, yeah, you don't. I mean, you're there usually for me. I'm there for hockey.
Yeah.
But I just think just having a size facility like that that you can utilize. I mean, I had to look up, like, okay, what is a civic center yesterday? I had to look it up because, like, we have this debate on it. And I think it's just a play on words and names. But it mm-hmm. really is just this is going to be open for the community. There will be one area that will there's going to be a large space area for multiple uses, and I think what it does is it opens up people for creativity.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that I don't think the committee has even thought about doing, and somebody out there is like excited because, hey, we got a space that we could use for this, and nobody's ever even thought of it. So I think once you have space like that, you just new ideas come up, and I think you'll draw in people even from out of the community because there's not a lot of areas that have large spaces like that, and Owatonna people might be looking and saying, hey, we want an updated thing from what we have at the state fair or their fairgrounds. So I think it just opens up a lot of opportunities.
Has the architect, do you have architectural designs on this yet? Has it been completely designed? If so, can those be modified if we do find some more uses?
Sure. I mean, we've got a budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the cost estimate's based on that. So we're working within that realm. But we are doing a lot of research, reaching out to other communities of what they've had in there, the cities of Eagan. A couple new arenas were built out in Shakopee and other places. So we've got some of that information coming together. Some places do curling at night, which we found has been very popular from some of the constituents in Northfield. There's some that do summer wiffle ball inside these things. So really, we're trying to figure out what we can do within our budget and going to be working with the architect to make sure we can obtain that within the budget. And that's the hard work we got to do right now. But everything from a connection to the trail, the Cannon River Trail that goes along that side, we've talked to the adjacent landowners of possibly trying to push that forward and have kind of a year-round stop for bathrooms and people along the trail if anything else. So there's a lot of these ideas that we have to truly make this a multi-use year-round facility that we believe can get done within our budget. But we've got to make sure we work really hard in the next couple months to educate people on what those are and that they work.
Yeah, now that we have, it has been established that it will be on the ballot coming up in November. You can really dive full into all that. So we would like to invite you back at some point in the future. We'll keep in contact, and we can talk about some new ideas. As Brent had mentioned, you might have some new ideas and some updates about that time. But we certainly will keep you on our radar, and we want to thank you both for coming in.
Thanks. That'd be great. I'd mention that we do have, we know it's going to be about education the next few months. We do have a website going live, Cannon River City. CivicCenter.org, which will be going live today, where we'll start to get those updates on what's going on in there and continue to be able to answer questions for people, because this is going to be about education. It's a large investment for our community. We want to be out in front of it.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Once again, it's Brett Bielenberg and Chris Canelli with the Cannon River Civic Center.